The Avat Chesed, we're continuing on page Shin Chaf Zayin. The Chafetz Chaim says we're talking about different types of kindness that can be done verbally. If you see your friend is sad because of his poverty, or is it tzarachas v'shalom, or because he's got a tzara. So you know how it is. You ask a person, how are you doing? And you really don't want to hear the long answer. He's going to tell you, terrible. Let me tell you what's been happening in my life. And you don't want to hear. But that's another type of kindness. Chafetz Chaim says, you see someone sad, you see he's suffering, and you can't really help him. It's a mitzvah nonetheless to talk to him and help him overcome his worries. One of the great afflictions that we human beings have is that our troubles, our actual factual troubles, are magnified by our worry. We can very often deal with the challenge, but we are often very challenged in dealing with the worry. The challenge we can deal if we can only force ourselves out of bed, if we can only force ourselves to get up and be positive. But that's a challenge. And so when we talk to someone, that's a tremendous chesed. Talking to someone and helping them overcome their fears and allaying their fears. Yes, Benny.
I find it easier to understand with things that happened to them, like a tornado over to their house and nothing that was their fault. But from what I've seen, a lot of people actively put themselves in these situations where what they did caused, them to lose their home, to lose this. Are you still supposed to do that, even though it's not really going to help them? It may help them, but it's completely their fault.
Can I tell you an honest answer? I apologize in advance, because it might make people here uncomfortable, even though I don't think I'm referring to anyone here. But I want to reveal a secret to you, something that's not often said publicly. This has been my experience, and to the best of my knowledge, it is not only my experience, but it is the experience of many rabbis. A very large percentage of people who come and ask advice don't take the advice. And sometimes you tell them, if you do this and this with your child, it will explode in your face, and it's a very bad idea. That's not the route to take. And the person listens, smiles, walks out the door, and does the exact opposite of what you told them to do. And then comes back to you the next week and says, you were right. What do I do now?
You must love your child.
I'm not sure I'm any different.
Why is that? And why would people even seek counsel and guidance if they have no intention of following the law?
Let me tell you a story. This winter, I was ill. And I thought I was getting better, and then I was ill again. And I thought I was getting better, and then I was ill again. So after this happened 3 times, I decided I'm going to the doctor. I came to the doctor. The doctor I usually see had no time, and I wanted to see a doctor that day. So I went to a new doctor who I never met. I'm in the waiting room, and it's a very uncomfortable situation because I don't know how good this guy is. So I started asking around, and everyone in the waiting room, you try to ask without the doctor hearing, they all had good things to say about this doctor, really good things to say about this doctor. So I walked in with a certain amount of confidence, but this isn't the doctor I've ever met before. So he interviews me, and he was a good listener. He listened to every detail and checks me, and then he prescribes antibiotics. I don't like taking medicine. So I said to him, doctor, look, I know you prescribed me antibiotics, but I have to be honest. I think it's viral, and I don't think antibiotics will help. I'm not a doctor, but I also feel like I'm getting better. The only thing is, I felt that way in the beginning of the week, and I felt that way 2 days ago. That's why I came in here today. But if you ask me now, I think I'm improving, and maybe my body is overcoming it. So is there any harm, the way you see it, is there any harm in my waiting a day or two before I take the antibiotics? So he said, let me ask you a question. What percentage of the patients that walk into the room we're in right now, what percentage do you think take the medication I prescribe them? So I said, 80, 90%. He said, try 50, 60%. He said, today, with computers, we know. We know how many patients actually fulfill the prescription we give them. So we know that we don't pass the 60% mark. The average doctor does not pass the 60% mark. It's a question, is it 40%, 50%, or 60% of your patients that are going to take the medication you prescribe? So he said to me, look, you came in here to talk to me, and I appreciate your honesty that you asked me whether you can wait 2 days. And I'll explain to you why I prescribed it and why I recommend you take it. He said, it started out viral. You're right. Oh, a pizza. So at any rate, the doctor, in a nutshell, he said that because it got better and then it got worse, he says, viruses don't do that. Once you overcome a virus, you have the antibodies, it goes away. If it got worse, then obviously it's no longer viral. And with that, I learned. He said to me, I also don't want to give antibiotics, but I took that into account, and you're in much greater danger not taking it than taking it. So I took the antibiotics, but I also questioned the doctor. Here I am coming to the doctor, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe he doesn't understand my factors as well. We learned in the Chazon Ish that the tendency of humans is that We always wonder, did the other party really understand me? Did they get all my facts right? Do they really understand when they're giving me advice? It's part of our human nature, because we do try to be masters of our own destiny. And so even when we take counsel with someone else, we're not really coming to be automatons. You tell me what to do. Sometimes people want someone to blame. Sometimes people want to feel like, I asked him, he said, I did what he said. That's why people want to attribute great wisdom or spirituality to people they ask, because then they could feel more confident. I did what he said. It must be right. He's not a prophet, but okay. I'd like to feel like he's a prophet. At any rate, back to here. So, you asked, what happens if a person brought it upon himself? I'm saying, even if sometimes you gave him the counsel to do differently. I was in a house where there was a young lady, not so young anymore. She was in her 30s already and single. And she was dating a guy, and it was going really well. And she asked her hosts, I wasn't involved. I was just listening to this conversation. She said, you know, I haven't spoken to him in a few hours. Should I give him a call? And her host said, no, you're going to drive him crazy. He's busy at work. Just because you guys have a good relationship going, you can't bug him every few hours. Hey, how you doing? You guys are in the middle of dating. He's not your husband. Just because you're bored and you like schmoozing with him doesn't mean he has the patience for you. You want this relationship to continue growing. Don't call him. 10 minutes later, she comes back and says, you were right. I shouldn't have called him. I really got on his nerves. Now what do I do? Okay. So I'm saying that people do this. They not only put themselves in the rut, sometimes we even ask someone's counsel, and then don't listen to their counsel, and then come back and say, okay, now help me out. And part of our responsibility as Anshei Chesed is that we help the person. We don't say, ah, it's all your fault. Look at God and Adam and Eve. They ate from the fruit he told them not to. And then they were naked and they were ashamed of that. And God goes ahead and makes them clothing. He doesn't say, hey, you did this to yourself. We see that Chesed is willingness to help without judging the other party. They did it to themselves. Okay, what can I do? I still want to help them. So coming back to the Chafetz Chaim, helping a person sometimes is helping them deal with their fear, with their worry, and that can sometimes be greater than the practical help. Sometimes all a person needs is someone to talk to. And this is all encompassed in the concept of Gmilut Chasadim, as Rabbeinu Yonah writes, that even if a person is himself impoverished, and therefore he cannot actually do kindness with others, you can still do kindness without investing money. That's the kindness that's quoted in Halacha. That you speak to the guy, and you hear his troubles, and you encourage him. That's also a type of chesed. V'yiyud v'rav nachat ruach la'evyon, and so a person can comfort the poor. V'nachamenu mima'asav u'meitzvon yadav, and a person can comfort him from what's happening in his life, from his sorrows, from his worries. V'chabdeyu, and you can honor him. That's a big question. How do we give tzedakah? I remember I just started making money. I was working in the summer. And there was an old beggar who came to shul. And I had a $100 bill. And he was going around collecting. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. And he had a bunch of singles and 20s and 5s and whatever he had. And I only had a $100 bill in my wallet. So I asked him for $99 change. And I gave him the 100. So the guy took his wad of bills. Now remember, he's walking around in front of the whole shul. He gave me his wad of bills and said, count out your change. And I remember how embarrassed I felt being there in shul and this old beggar is standing next to me and I'm counting out the change. And it was such a beautiful lesson for me because I said to myself, that's what you wanted him to do. You know, I didn't think of it when I asked him for the change. I thought, I want to give him a dollar. I don't have a dollar. So I asked him for change. That's legitimate. But to stand there suddenly with this wad and start counting out 99 bills or however it came out wasn't so comfortable. But I hadn't thought of it earlier. Chafetz Chaim says, V'chabedeyu. One of the things we can do for someone who's poor is to honor them. How we treat them, it's not only about what we say to them and that we listen to them, it's how we treat them. V'chabedeyu. To honor them. V'amru Razal b'Baba Batra, our sages said in Tractate Baba Basra, Hanoten pruta la'ani mitbarech b'shesh brachot. If someone gives a coin, the smallest coin, to someone who's poor, he'll get 6 blessings. V'amfaiso b'dvarim, but he who can talk to him and comfort him, mitbarech b'achadis l'brachot, he gets 11 blessings. As the verse says, "V'tafek la'av nafshecha v'nefshna natasbiya v'zrach b'chosh chorecha v'avetchak tzoraim v'nachashem tamid v'isbiya v'tzachot nafshecha," etc. A long passage. V'u'inyan piyus dvarim v'arot lo ratzon tov v'lev shalem v'nefsh chafeitza. To show him that you feel good, you're connected with him, you're wholehearted with him, you desire talking to him, that's comforting a person. Look at what it says clearly in the Talmud. That by making a person feel good, you get so much more wages than by just giving him money. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, look at how many more blessings one gets for this. And it's interesting because this is what most people lack. Most people lack a sounding board, someone who will listen to them, someone who will share in their troubles. There's a story I grew up on in elementary school. Every year we'd hear the story about a guy who is on his way home from work one day and suddenly he's about to enter the subway and someone pulls out a gun and says, "You're coming with me." And the guy takes him to a coffee shop and says, "Now sit." And he sits down and the guy orders a coffee for each of them. And he puts his revolver in a newspaper so no one can see it, and it's facing the guy sitting opposite him. And he starts talking to him. And he says to him, "You know what I'm going through in life?" So the listener says, "No." And he starts telling him. And he sits with him all night sharing his troubles. And at the end of the night, he puts the gun in his pocket, and he says, "Look, I'm really sorry I had to do this to you, but I had to talk to someone I had no one to talk to. I'm sorry I put you through this, but I needed to talk to someone." And he gets up and walks away. So it's pretty sad, but we can understand it. A person reaches a point where he's got no one to talk to and he wants to talk to someone.
Maybe he wasn't good with people.
Maybe. Maybe he couldn't afford a psychologist, or maybe he hadn't found one. But, okay, I'm not saying anyone should do this, okay? Right, do not attempt this at home. Right, this is not a recommended modus operandi. But, most people walk around the world feeling lonely. It's much easier to get a dollar from someone than it is to get their ear and their care. And people within their own marriages, within their own homes, within their own relationships are walking around lonely. I had a phenomenal experience yesterday. I went to one of the rabbis who I try to apprentice by. I'm also still learning, trying to learn. And when he left the place where people come and ask him questions, what's called in Hebrew, Beit Hora'ah, so I asked him if it's okay if I walk him. And en route, I had a question about how to set up my year next year. What do you recommend? So we're walking, and I'm asking the question, and then we reach like near his next stop, and I try to continue walking because I don't want to detain him. And he stops in the shade, and he calls me to the shade, and we continue talking. And at the end, after a 10-15 minute conversation, I asked him, so Rebbe, what do you recommend? So I see him hemming and hawing and not answering me. And the conversation's about then, and I said, I'm sorry, but I didn't understand what you recommend. So he said to me, look, you needed someone to talk to, but you don't need someone to tell you what to do. He said to me, everyone needs a sounding board, but you don't need me to tell you. You know what to do. I don't think you need me to answer you. So I was shocked. Because here I thought I was asking him a question, and he was telling me, no, you didn't ask me a question. You needed a sounding board. So, you know, this is, sometimes we don't realize it's relevant to me, it's relevant to us. Back to the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim says, this is one of the acts of kindness that we can do. It doesn't involve money. It involves care and time. And this is a point which we walk around life and very often we don't have who to turn to. Or we don't know who to turn to. And so if a person makes himself the type of person who can listen, who's willing to listen, he might have a lot of people knocking at his door. But he will have done tremendous chesed with people. Bekama gdola yamida azo. How great is this trait? Shem zuman avuha l'chei olam haba. A person is invited to the world to come over this, as the Talmud tells us in Tractate Tanis. There's a story of Rabbi Baroka. Rabbi Baroka is walking in the marketplace. And Eliyahu would often come to Rabbi Baroka. And he asks him, is there anyone in this market who's going to the world to come? So Eliyahu looks out at 2 million people and says to Rabbi Baroka, nope, no one here is making it to the world to come. As they're talking, two brothers pass by, and Eliyahu tells Rabbi Baroka, these two, they're going to the world to come. So he runs after them and asks them, what do you guys do? And they say, we are medicinal clowns, in modern terminology. When we see people upset, or when we see people who are having a fight, we go over to them, we try to crack a joke or two, we try to talk to them, and then we try to help them attain peace. So we see people in sorrow, we help them out. What do we see? Those are the only two people in the marketplace who are making it to the world to come. You see how much Hashem values someone who's willing to help someone else, who's in a time of need, who needs someone to help them smile. Rabbeinu Yonah writes further, Yashit etzot lifnei rabim nasot tzedakah v'chesed v'yikabel sachar al harabim asher tzedik v'anan nefashot asher yaseh. If one teaches the masses how to do acts of kindness, then he gets reward for their kindness. And he will be insured and he will get wise from the charity that's done through him. As the verse says, And our sages taught, Gadol ha-me'aseh yoter min ha'oseh, v'zeh ha'avat chesed. Rabbeinu Yonah says, this is what's called to love kindness. When you're willing to help others attain kindness. And I would add that very often we're tempted to do things. And very often we can accomplish so much more if we can get other people to do things. Very often it seems simpler if I do it myself. But it's not. You will accomplish so much more. If you do everything on your own, you're limited to what you can do. If you can mobilize other people to do, then you're limited to the number of people you can mobilize, which is almost limitless. You can keep mobilizing people. So the idea of delegating, and that means it won't turn out the way you expect. And sometimes you'll have to start from scratch, and there's a tremendous price for delegation. But if you delegate, and that's what Chafetz Chaim just quoted from Rabbeinu Yonah, if you can get other people to do acts of kindness, then you will propel kindness forward tenfold. And again, it's counterintuitive. Our first thought is, I'll run and I'll do that. No, our first thought should be, I can get someone else to do that. Let me see who else I can get in on this.